I believe most of you know who I am and who my wife, who is playing the piano, is. But for those who don't, we are Jay and Debbie Shear. And we moved to Coshocton area here about 4 years ago. And we are serving with missionary maintenance services up at the Coshocton County Airport. I am on staff there helping train apprentices who are committed to going to mission aviation work around the world, and also working on the live aircraft that we work on there. We don't own any airplanes, but we work on other mission organizations' airplanes there. And Debbie serves as a receptionist there and does other office work, so we're both involved in the ministry. And we're just thankful that God has called us here to be a part of that ministry. Those who have never been up to the airport there and seen what goes on at MMS Aviation, I invite you to come and take a tour. Let us know ahead of time so that we can be prepared and work it into the schedule. But we'd love to have many of you or all of you come and see what we're all about up there at the airport. What the Lord has called us to that work and that ministry. So I had worked my entire career up to that point 4 years ago in general aviation back in Pennsylvania on the maintenance side. And as I mentioned, I'm now on staff at MMS and serving there. So enough about us. I want to open with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to open God's word to us all. Our Father, we thank you for gathering us together today. We thank you for the challenge from Sarah this morning in Sunday school and her presentation here in the worship service. We just pray for your blessing to be upon her. We pray that you would open doors for her to be able to share her ministry, and that you would bring the support team that she needs together so that she can go and minister to those there in Romania. And we thank you for her desire to go, and we just pray for your blessing to be upon her and helping her get there. We pray now, Lord, as we open your word, that you would help us to be attentive to what you would have to say to each one of us as we look into your word today. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message that I am bringing this morning, I've entitled it, What is Your Future? I have two parts that I'm going to bring. And the first part I want to talk to you about is your eternal future. What is your eternal future? After we leave this life, where will you be? Sooner or later, we're all going to die, or unless the Lord comes back and takes his believers home to heaven, we're all going to face that that time of death, physical death. So in the Bible, it only tells us of two places where people will spend eternity. There's only two places. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, probably a very familiar passage to many of us. And I'm going to read the verses 19 through 31. Again, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Follow as I read. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm that has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So this is a well-known passage, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I believe this is a true story. I don't believe it's just a parable that Jesus told, because he used people's names in this story. And in parables, he didn't use people's names. But anyhow, so both men in this story, they both die. And the rich man, he lifted up his eyes. He was in Hades or hell. And he begged for just water to touch the tip of his tongue to cool him. I don't know how much good that would have done him, but it wasn't going to happen because he was going to be there forever and ever. And Lazarus, he also wanted Lazarus. He was almost like a missionary here in hell. He wanted others to go and tell his brethren so that they wouldn't come to this horrible place to be tormented in the flame and the fire. And how horrible of a place is hell, to be tormented in that flame day and night. However, Lazarus, on the other hand, was in a better place. It was described as Abraham's side. And I believe this is where the saints would go before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And there Lazarus was in a place of comfort, and the rich man was in a place of torment. So this begs the question, how do I avoid ending up in hell? It's a place of fire and torment. Well, we have good news, because you don't have to end up there. Turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 3. I read from that chapter earlier, but I have a different passage that I'd like to read now. And John chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. Of course, John 3:16 is a very, very familiar verse to most of us. I want to read through verse 18. John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So from verse 18, we see that if we do nothing, we're condemned. We're condemned already to hell forever. However, the good news is there is a way of escape. A free gift offered to us in verses 16 and 17 tell us that God so loved us. He loved the world, that meaning us. He loved us that he gave his only Son to come and live a perfect life and die for us and shed his blood so that we can have everlasting life with him. I'd like you to turn over to a passage in the book of Romans. We're going to read a couple of verses there, or presently just one verse. Romans chapter 3, and I'd like to read verse 23, where it says that we have all sinned and we fall short of God's glory. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned," and when all means all, that's everybody, "have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So God demands perfection. None of us are perfect. I'm sure we all realize that. But Jesus came and lived a perfect life, a sinless life. No sin was ever found in him. And he was the perfect sacrifice that could pay for the penalty of our sins through his shed blood and then his resurrection from the dead 3 days later. So it's a very simple plan of salvation. It's very simple. It's offered to all, and we just have to believe it and accept him as our Savior. So I'm going to stay in the book of Romans. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. And it's Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. I'd like to read those and follow as I read. It says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So, to avoid going to hell forever, we must truly believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that he came to earth, he lived a sinless life, perfect life, and then he shed his blood on the cross for each one of us. And then 3 days later, after he'd been in the tomb, God the Father raised him from the dead, and now he lives forevermore. And if you've never made that decision, I urge you to do it today, because don't put it off, because it could be too late. Even today, it could be too late. None of us know what's going to happen to us when we walk out those doors. We could be in a car accident. We could drop over dead. Who knows? God knows. But I urge you, don't reject this, or make this decision. Don't reject Jesus. So we who are believers in Jesus for our salvation have the assurance that when we leave this life, we will be with the Lord who is in heaven. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a verse there that I want to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Yes, we are of good courage." This is Paul speaking. "And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So another translation puts it this way. Paul says he is willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when believers in Christ die, they are ushered into the presence of the Lord who is in heaven. And I hope and pray that each one of us have made that decision and are a part of his family. Now I want to look at some verses back in the last book of the Bible in Revelation, chapter 20. And I want to read verses 11 through 14. This is speaking of the final judgment day, when the dead will be judged according to their works, and they will receive their final sentence. And their final sentence is very, very frightening. So verses 11 through 14 of Revelation 20. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we take from the scripture, if your name is not written in that book of life, at that final judgment day, your future for eternity is going to be very, very awful, the lake of fire. But the good news is, as we mentioned before, you do not have to go there. The way to get your name written in the book of life is by putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which he did when he died on the cross. He had lived a perfect life, shed his blood, and then believed that God raised him from the dead 3 days later. And again, I urge you, if you've never made that decision, please don't leave today without making that decision. It's a free gift of salvation that is offered to all of us. And the awful penalty of our sin, if we don't receive him, is that lake of fire. And then it's going to be too late. But for those of us who know the Lord, we will be with him forever in a wonderful, wonderful place called heaven. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk to us who know Christ as our Savior. This is part two that I want to share with you. I have a question for you, believers. What is your future for the rest of your life? Are you where God wants you to be right now? Are you doing what he wants you to do right now? Maybe God wants you to do exactly what you're doing right now in the place where you are. And that's great, as long as that's where God wants you. But maybe he has other plans for you. I want to challenge you to ask yourself and seek God's wisdom and his will for what he may have for you. We heard a great challenge this morning from Sarah. She's been called to Romania as a missionary. Maybe God is speaking to some of us today to go somewhere to share the gospel. We are all commanded to share the gospel wherever we are, but maybe some are being called to go to some place where the people have never heard. We are all commanded to do something in Matthew chapter 9. I'd like you to turn there, verses 37 and 38. I'd like to read those verses. We're all commanded to do something there, and I want you to follow along as I read. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" We are to earnestly pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his field. Are we praying? I want to challenge you as believers. Are we praying that the Lord would send laborers? Are we praying that God would send out people to tell these people in these areas that have never heard about the good news of Jesus? Are we praying that he would send forth laborers? It's his harvest. It's not our harvest. It's his harvest. And he tells us that the harvest is plenteous. There's people to be saved. So we need laborers. And as Sarah spoke this morning, there are a lot of needs over there in her area. And they need workers there. And it's the same story around the world. Wherever the gospel has not been preached, we need laborers. Maybe God is speaking to some of you, no matter what your age may be, to go into that harvest. We are to be his witnesses wherever we are, right here in Coshocton, at our jobs, wherever we go about our daily tasks, we are to be his witnesses. But perhaps maybe God is calling someone who is listening today to go out and share the gospel where some have never heard it before. We may not all be called to go, but we are all called to pray. We are commanded to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers and into his harvest, because, as I said before, the harvest is truly plenteous. There are people out there that have never heard the gospel and who are in need to hear it and will respond when they call, when they do hear it. So what a blessing it is to serve the Lord. No matter where you are, if you're serving the Lord, it's a great blessing. So my challenge to you today is, if you have never been born again into God's family, there's no better time than right now to ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. And I urge you to make that decision. Don't put it off, because we just don't know how much time any of us have on this earth. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be any day we could meet our Maker. And then it's too late for salvation, as the rich man we read about found out earlier. I'd like to turn to one last passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Second Corinthians 6, 2 says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Lord says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not a week from today. If the Lord's been speaking to your heart about your need of a Savior, you need to respond today, because, as I mentioned before, none of us know when our time on this earth is over. And, it literally is a life and death decision. It's not something to take very lightly. It's a life and death decision. So my challenge to us who are believers in Christ is to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field, into his harvest, and be open to whatever the Lord may have for you. You know, you may be right where he wants you right now, but maybe, perhaps, and you need to seek his will on this, you may be getting a call to go somewhere else and serve. That's what we did 4 years ago. It was a process for us when we first felt the call to come and work at work in missionary aviation, and then as the Lord directed us to MMS, it was a process. But he leads you all along the way, and if he wants you there, he will get you there. He will build your team to support you and get you there. So that's my challenge today for unsaved. If anybody is listening that is unsaved, I challenge you and beg you to not put off accepting Jesus as your Savior, because we may not live another day. None of us know. And the challenge to believers is seek God's will. If he wants you somewhere else, follow him. If he wants you right here, that's fine. Do your service for him right here and now. So let's have a word of prayer as we close. And as the word has been spoken this morning, we need to respond in one way or the other. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, whatever our need may be. If our need is salvation, we pray that you would work in those hearts and draw them into your family today. We pray for those who know you as Savior, that you would Speak to our hearts too. Help us to be more persistent in praying for laborers to go forth. Help us to be encouraging to those who are going and helping those who are going to get there to the mission field that they've been called to. We just thank you for your word that you've so clearly given to us, that we can know how to get to heaven and avoid the lake of fire, the awful place of punishment for those who never get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray, Lord, that you would just guide us and direct us throughout our lives this week. Help us to be honoring and glorifying to you and to be good testimonies for you in wherever we may go this week, we pray. And ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.